Pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm digging, even as the show's getting ready to start here, I'm digging in looking for something that I want to share with you all this morning. Hey, look at this. Kind of backed up my old self. It's like it never, ever went away. Hacked myself up all weekend getting that. You know, I was going to grow a full beard, and then people say, you don't do that. Go back to. So I'm back to the grampy look here. On the second day of March, where did January and February go? Thanks for joining us here today. We got an awesome show for you today. We'll share a little nugget with you as we get started here. Jared, if you would, pull up Galatians 2. Galatians 2. Because there's a couple things I want to share with you today that really, really have to become meaningful to us if we're going to be effective in this battle for what Superman say, truth, justice, in the American way. You know, we are great, we Christians, we're great at what I call sloganeering. We love slogans. We love to throw around Christian slogans without really thinking about the depth of them, without ever really living them out, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, the word says. Do you really believe that? If you really believe that, would you, what's that old saying? What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I heard somebody say that when I was a young guy. What would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The word actually says that, doesn't it? Yeah, it sure does. And then I was thinking about today, where we are in America and where we are in the world and how helpless the body of Christ really seems to be. When Jesus said, go ye into all the world, and lo, I'll be with you always, even until the end of the earth. So Jesus would come, God would come, God would send his son Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he would give you a task. He would charge you with a task that you are incapable of performing. Really? Really think that? That God would ask you to go do something that you are incapable of doing. And I'm reminded of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know, he didn't really want to do that. You guys know that, don't you? You know, he didn't really want to do it. When he went in the garden, he kept arguing back and forth with his father. Lord, isn't there some other way? Got to be a better way to do this than me having to go to, no, let him bruise me. You're the king of the kings. You can snap your fingers. Come on. Came back a couple times when all his buddies were asleep. I could preach on that one. Come there. Also, won't anybody stay awake with me? Nobody. And he gets in and he wrestles with God. And what happens? He says, all right, nevertheless, I'll do it your way. I don't want to do it that way, but I will. Nevertheless, thy will be done. Another one of those verses we just kind of throw around, isn't it? Christ in me, the hope of glory. What does that mean? What does that look like? So I'm in Galatians today, Jared. That kind of popped up into my brain. Trying to figure out where to begin because there's so much. Let's start the verse. Let's start verse 10. Galatians 2:10. Now, I just popped this up before the show began, so if I'm not exactly where I'm trying to be in Galatians, bear with it, because I'm heading somewhere today, okay? Jared, get that up there on the screen. I'm sorry, man, you probably already have, and I haven't clicked on it yet. All right, there it is. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forwarded to. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him face to face, because he was to be blamed. I could preach right there. Peter went to him face to face. When Peter came, he went to him face to face. And I withstood him because he was to be blamed. It was his fault, right? He didn't gossip about him. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. In other words, he's hanging out with some sinners or some guys that aren't doing it exactly the way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees taught us to do it. And he was afraid and he withdrew and he pulled away from them. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him. So they all separated, right? All of them separated. And so much that Barnabas also was carried away with their arguing, this dissimulation, this pulling apart. Boy, there's a lot of that in the church, isn't there? Verse 13, the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, and so much of Barnabas also carried away with him their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of gospel, I said unto Pete before everybody, public rebuke here, if you, being a Jew, liveth like the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why do you compel the Gentiles? Why are you asking those guys to do what you don't even do? He said, we who are Jews by nature, not sinners of the Gentiles. We were this special group of people, not just these lost folks. We were Jews. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law anymore. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Stay with me, go on somewhere. But if while ourselves are also found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. He said, if you're a Christian and you continue to sin, is God okay with that? No. For if I build against the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. If I preach it to some people and I don't do it myself, what good am I? For I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. Here's where I'm going. For I am crucified with Christ. Do you believe that? Have you really crucified yourself? Really? I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. I'm dead man walking. I was crucified with him, but here I am. Nevertheless, I live, but it's not me. See, you're looking at me. It ain't me, folks. It ain't me. Why? Christ lives within me. See, what you're seeing, or what you should be seeing when you look at me, in me, you're supposed to be seeing a reflection of Christ. And because the life which I now live in the flesh, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you can work your own salvation, you're dead in vain. But I want to focus on this right there. Are you crucified with Christ? Are you? Really? Are you really walking? Do you get up every morning? Listen, I'm not trying to be holier than thou. Do you get up every morning, and try to put before your eyes the things that the Lord would have you do for the day? Or are you thinking about you? Because if you're thinking about you, you haven't crucified that flesh. You got to continue to fight to crucify that flesh. See, we say it, but we don't live it. We don't live it. We all go through tough times. I think tough times are coming. I think tough times are coming. But I'm going to tell you this. As I was explaining, I was on Josh, I think it's Josh Peck. I was on with him yesterday. Jared, could you do this really quickly? Ecclesiastes 7. I think that's where it is. Ecclesiastes 7. Could you pull that up there? The reality of this scripture, I don't want to say haunts me, but the reality of this scripture gets me every day. A good name is better. This is Ecclesiastes 7:1. A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. I got to tell you, I got a hard time with that one. In the eyes of the Lord, the day of my death is more glorious to him than the day of my birth. How can that be? Because I've been crucified with Christ. I'm already a dead man, crucified with Christ. So I'm heading somewhere this morning, a little bit of an opener here, because I'm proud this morning of Stephanie. Stephanie College, who been having communication with her back and forth for quite a while, because Stephanie, Jared, go to my Facebook page. Stephanie has publicly confessed, stepped out of the boat, crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, she lives. She stepped out of the boat and she made a video yesterday, which was really, really hard for her to do. Scroll on down there, Jared. I want to play a few minutes of it. There's Stephanie confessing to the world that she killed her baby. She killed her baby. And I believe that abortion would be closer to ending if more women did what Stephanie did. Stands up and says, it was wrong. I've regretted it my whole life. Not a day goes by that I don't think about that baby that I killed. Because the Bible tells us this. Scripture tells us what? Revelation 12. Where is that, Lord? Revelation. They overcame him. How? Revelation 12, Jared. There it is. There it is. Revelation 12. 11. 12, 11. And they overcame him. There you go. By the blood of the Lamb, the forgiveness of your sins. By the word of your testimony. Oh my goodness, the power of a personal testimony. See, you're overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He's wiped your sins away. You overcame. And then by the word of your testimony, you got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. If you don't, are you really forgiven of it? Okay. Steph. When you tell the truth. You cannot love your life.
Coach is locking up on this end sometimes.
Don't know what to tell you, man. Am I okay, Jared? What's going on here? Why would that be? Why would I be coming in and out here? Jared, while I'm coming in and out, go ahead and play that little video. Couple minutes of Stephanie's coming out party. Go ahead and play that, bud, if you will.
Stephanie. All right, Lord. Hi, everybody. My name's Stephanie, and I'm from Ohio, and I'm 49 years old now, and the reason I speak up today, I speak up all the time, but today why I speak up is the things I've been seeing currently with all the abortion, the TikTok girl yesterday, like I said, literally made me sick. And I'm tired of women laughing about this, people celebrating this. So I'm gonna show you my picture. This is from 1987, January 17th. This was the day before. My abortion. And this is my letter that I wrote to my baby. Why am I sharing this? Because somebody needs to hear it. All these videos out there, all these girls, it's no big deal. Just a procedure, you're gonna forget about it. No, you're gonna remember. And every time you look in the mirror, you're gonna remember. I don't care how strong you think you are. I'm a strong woman. I was a strong girl. It's been through a lot of shit. Crap. Sorry. this open a lot of doors for a lot of dark stuff. I wrote this letter to the baby that I aborted, sitting in my room, crying, alone, bleeding. And again, I'm not sharing this to put blame on anybody. I'm not doing that. I'm just sharing my story because it sucked. And I'm seeing so many, my body, my choice. It's no problem. Oh, my body, my voice. And it was horrific. Here's my letter. I'm so sorry for what I've done, even though what people tell me what I did was right. A piece of me died with you, my poor little one, and the guilt shall live with me and haunt me forevermore. And now I wish I could go back in time and I'd save you so I could have been able to hold you and love you after you arrived. Please forgive me, for I am so sorry.
Okay, Jared, you can stop it there. Now, folks, I'm going to ask you to do two things here. It took great courage for Stephanie to do this. I've often wondered, if we had a church full of women who've had abortions stand up and confess, become an army. See, our elected officials wouldn't end abortion. Women like Stephanie would end it. People confessing to the horrors of abortion. But abortion is such a horrible, in the mind of a woman, and a man, by the way, the mind of a man. They don't want to tell anybody. No matter what they want to tell us in the culture and tell us in society, there is nobody thinks killing their child is a good thing. Nobody believes that in their heart. And there's a movement out there called Surrender the Secret, trying to get women, post-abortive women, to confess what happened, because if other women hear what happened, perhaps abortion will end. But abortion won't end because the women who are post-abortive won't speak up to elected officials and to pastors and say, it ruined my life. It destroyed my life. It was a permanent solution to a temporary problem. And all we hear across the society and across the culture is women talking about how they did it, and they're glad they did it because they wouldn't have been able to have a college education, and they wouldn't have been able to afford it, yada, yada, yada. And we never hear from the women who regret it. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and love not their own lives. To say, I'm crucified with Christ. I'm ashamed of what I did. Here's what I did. That is victory. Do you understand? That's why abortion continues. The women who regret it won't talk about it. I get it. I understand. Some of them were abortions before they were married. It was another man. It was a boyfriend. You were 17 years old. A lot of reasons why. We're not here to discuss the reasons why. We're talking about a post-Christ life where you've been crucified with Christ, and now you no longer live, but Christ lives within you, and you are going to testify, because the most powerful thing you can do is overcome how? By the blood of the Lamb, if you confess that you're forgiven. Overcome by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You got to tell somebody. You got to tell somebody. In order to tell them, you can't love yourself. You just can't love yourself. I'm going to ask, I don't know how we do this, Jared. This was very, very heart-wrenching and difficult for Stephanie to do this. And you can go and watch the rest of it and the letters she wrote to her baby and all that kind of stuff. But folks, you need to share this video. This video needs to go all across our platforms. Now, listen, you say, Coach, I don't know. Hey, Jared, whoever out there, how do we make this video for people who are not friends on Facebook with Stephanie? How do we make this video available for them to look at and share it? Can somebody tell me how we do that? Because when she makes this video, this thing is so powerful, others need to see it.
Coach, it'll be on my channels, okay, Coach?
Do what?
I'm going to put it on my channels, Coach.
Okay. How do other people do that? Because we, listen, the hundreds and thousands of people who are watching this, what if we all did this? What if we all grabbed this video and shot it out? Because listen, there are people today still trying to make decisions about whether to kill their babies or not. There are young girls still today that are laying in, even right now as they wake up this morning, they know they're pregnant. What am I going to do? And they need to hear from some brave woman who says, don't do it. Don't do it. How do we share that? I'm asking for advice from somebody who's a little bit more techie than me. Copy and paste the link. Is that what we do? Is there some place that we can post it, Jared, that people can go? What's that? Okay, we'll get it up at CoachDaveLive.com, and then there'll be a download button where you can download it. And can listen, you got to do it, folks. Stephanie has stepped out. It was hard for her to do this, but she stepped out and she did it. And now let's make it go viral. Let's other women to see. Maybe this will encourage other post-abortive women. I can't for the life of me understand why a woman like Stephanie has buried this guilt in her heart for 87, is that what she said? In 1987? That's how many years? 23 years, is that right? No, 33 years? Stephanie, are you in here today?
Yeah, Coach, I'm here.
Is there anything that you'd like to say in regards to this? Was this cathartic at all? What happened when you made this video, Stephanie, in your heart?
Well, that was really hard. I've talked to people one-on-one, and I've talked about it, but I've just been really, all of this stuff is just, it just needed to come out. So many of these girls just no emotion and laughing, and they're celebrating this. And this is a ritual. This is your baby. And it helped me. I know that there's women and girls out there who are contemplating and they're on the fence. And so that's the only reason why I'm speaking out for this. And if it helps one person, then it was worth it. It was worth it. But it's one of my deepest scars in my heart. And,
is this the first time you've ever publicly shared it like this, Steph?
Like this? Yes. Yeah. I've talked about my abortion, but reading this letter, I forgot I even had this letter. It was stashed away in a box of old pictures and diaries and stuff. And I was going through it. And So I hope it helps somebody.
Well, we know it does. Why? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, loving not their own lives. So since you're a dead woman walking, see, that third one should be easy. You're already dead. That's what I was talking about at the beginning of the show. Do we walk out what we say we believe, right? Do we walk out? And you know what, Stephanie? People aren't going to look at you and say, oh, you did what? No, you're power to other women. They're going to say, oh, me too.
Me too. I want them to know to be strong. It does not take wearing a pink vagina hat on your head. That makes you weak. That makes you so weak. And a strong woman speaks her truth. And sometimes we do things that we aren't proud of. And the only way to teach others is to show them. And so here I am.
I was wrong. Don't do it. Right, Steph?
And then please don't do it.
Why, Stephanie? Not because just your baby, but as you said, the scars in your life as a result of this. And Stephanie, you said something else I think is really, really important. You said it opened up doors. What do you mean by that, Steph?
It opens up doors because after the fact, you're so full of guilt. I mean, you're constantly thinking about it. Not only are you having the physical problems with it because you bleed for a long time afterwards, mentally, you know, physically it can affect you later on, but it breaks you down. It puts you into depression. It puts you into guilt, self-hatred. Every time I looked in the mirror, I would like want to argue with myself. Every time I heard music from, like I said, it just put me back. And then it's also contagious because it's like misery loves company. So like how I got
to get this was because I had a friend that had it who said it wasn't that much of a deal and it was her easy fix. And so she, I thought, was strong. And so I could go through that. And then I'm going to, oh, Lord, I had a friend after the fact, even I went through all this horrible, and she was pregnant and she went to have an abortion after talking to me. Even it's a contagious, horrible thing. And it just needs to stop.
And so what happens is we see girls 16, 17, 18 years old who have abortions, and then their friend comes up pregnant, right? And they go to them, talk to their friend, how was it? And then you at 18 years old, 16, whatever, says, oh, it wasn't so bad. It really wasn't so bad. And lie to your friend when your heart's breaking the whole time, right? But you understand the situation that she's in, and you say, well, I did it, so therefore, you know, who am I to tell her she can't do it? And so misery loves company. We see it every time we go to the abortion clinic. The women outside the death courts trying to lure in unsuspecting women who, I always say, one dead, one wounded. When you walk out of the abortion clinic, there's one dead and there's one wounded. We got to stop it, man. We got to stop it. And how do we do it? Blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony, and love not your own life, even to the point of death. Wow. I'm proud of you, Stephanie. Everybody else, let's share this. If you're on Facebook, you can go to my Facebook page. I posted it on my Facebook page. Can you share from my Facebook? I think you can. I think you can do that. Go to my Facebook page and share it. Share it. And this goes on for about 12 minutes. And it was a really, really big step for Stephanie. So proud of Stephanie. Somebody want to come in? Bless you, Steph.
You know, Coach, when outside Planned Parenthood, women would come and confess what their husbands are doing and being promiscuous adulterers, and they're stuck in a position where they don't have the funds to walk away or anything like that. And it's many other circumstances that I experience in front of it, and it's heart-wrenching. Really is.
You know, one of the most powerful things we do when we go to the clinic, we play over the PA on my phone. My phone's right over here. This is so simple to do, folks. I'm going to do it for you live. I'm going to go to my YouTube. Hang on. Watch how easy this is. I go to YouTube. I click on YouTube. YouTube pops up. And then when you get to YouTube, you hit the little hourglass or magnifying glass. And I type in baby crying. And a bunch of them pop up. And then I do this. I find a good one. And I get a microphone or a megaphone or whatever. And I do this. Outside the abortion clinic, because the women are in there and they know it's a baby. You have to do a Michael Bloomberg commercial before you get to it. He wants to kill babies, by the way, right? Yeah, Michael Bloomberg. We haven't talked about butt plug yet, have we? Hang on. And to magnify this, put this up against. What is going on here? Another commercial.
My name is Eva.
Oh, Eva. Let's try this one. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to show you. Warning, 1 hour of baby crying. You can go to the abortion clinic and play 1 hour. And this will... Put that over your projection. Promise the police will be there in 10 minutes. Because the women in the clinic... No, they have a baby inside them. Can't deny it. Simple to do. You saw right there how I did it. That's how you do it. Be effective.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Hey, I wanted to say, you know, that was the perfect verse that you applied to Stephanie's video because – You know, a lot of women, why do they get abortions? A lot of women are told, you know, if you have this baby, you'll have these kind of effects. You could die. You could have this. And so if we love, if they love their life or love not their life, even when faced with death, yep. I mean, it just, to me, it just opens up, it opens up eyes, because that should be a verse that is on a sign at the abortion mills. You know, 12:11, Revelation 12:11. That's a verse for everybody to use, no matter where you're at and what you're doing, but especially at the abortion mills, because those women go, they love their lives. That's why they're going to murder their babies.
David, they love their lives more than the baby. I always tell.
That's right.
In the pro-life movement, if we make the choice about the mother, well, the mother will kill it. But if we make the choice about the baby living, the baby will live. See, but they've done a marvelous job of convincing it. It's about the woman's right to choose. Right. Well, if you focus on the woman's right to choose, what about the baby's right to live? And we have to be bold and put that in the minds of people, because if we can get the girls' minds off of themselves and onto the baby, their mothering instincts will take over. David, you're in town. What are you doing? What are you doing in town this week? I see. What's going on? I know you got a busy week.
Well, I'll tell you what. It was a blessing yesterday. Pastor Bill, he was obedient to the Spirit Saturday evening. He called me, asked me if I wanted the floor yesterday morning, and then the Spirit moved upon me, gave me a message. I brought it yesterday morning at New Beginnings, and four people surrendered to Jesus. Amen. And it was a pretty powerful morning. And so tomorrow I get to go speak at the high school again in Columbus.
I'd love to come.
Yeah, and we're gonna go live for one of the classes. Well, you know, just me, of course. But going to go live for one of the classes, and I'm going to record the others. But then Wednesday night, I'm speaking in St. Mary's, Calvary Chapel in St. Mary's, Ohio.
That's way over.
Yeah, next Sunday, I'm going to be doing a morning and an afternoon service at God's Country Church in Marysville, Ohio. And the afternoon service, I'm bringing Melissa Atkinson up on the platform with me, and we're going to have Melissa Atkinson, for anyone who doesn't know, is running for Ohio State Senate, and she's very conservative and very Christian and very outspoken, and so she's going to come up on the platform with me, and we're going to have a Q&A of what she stands for and why, and then I'm going to be able to tell everybody why it's so important that they too stand for that, about the darkness of the LGBT movement and how they recruit or molest
children. Man, we got it. See, that's why they hate us. The same folks. Listen, thanks, David. It's the same thing. See, the abortionists hate Stephanie because she's telling the truth. The homosexual mafia hates David Arthur because he is telling the truth. The battle is always over the truth. It's always over the truth. And what's the word say? Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony. You got to tell the truth. You got to tell the story. But you can't love yourself too much. You can't love your reputation and who you are and what others might think. That's where the power of Christ comes. So if you've been crucified with Christ, then you don't have anything to be embarrassed about, because you've been forgiven of it all. Somebody, I'm kind of all over the place this morning. Jeff, thanks for evidently putting David up, or thanks for doing that. Somebody, come on.
Once again, Dave. Substance of your appearance, Coach. The real thing, not the facade of the real thing.
That's right. It has to be the real thing, man. Real thing. Yeah, Rob.
I was just going to add, I think Stephanie, powerful. Thank you. And David, I think one thing I would encourage these people when they give their testimonies, if the Lord leads them, is to include the pagan facts that go along with these things. You know, in the homosexual community, the life expectancy is almost cut in half. The pagan can understand that one. In the abortion industry, it's my understanding that there's a tremendous increase of breast cancer if you have an abortion. And why is that? And there are solid studies that support that. So I've often thought that additional factual information tied into God's word is powerful. So I encourage Stephanie just in her testimony and David. But those factual things are on our side too.
Amen. Hey, Stephanie, really
quick. Hey, Coach.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, real quick. You know, last week when I came down here to go to Kenyon College and we went for the Drag Queen Story Hour, it was pretty phenomenal. I got to, you know, the mayor was there. So here I am on the bullhorn saying, "Hey, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for showing up. Did you come to help us rescue the children from the Drag Queen Story Time?" And he couldn't buckle his kids in the car fast enough. And I said, "Oh, Mr. Mayor, did you just take your children in there to be corrupted? Did you sacrifice your children to the pedophile movement?" Oh, he was red as he could be, and he couldn't wait to get out of there. He didn't say a word, of course. But I wanted to say something, you know, about the, especially when you talk about life expectancy. When I was leaving, I stopped at a gas station store and I got a coffee, and there was a young man in there getting a soda, and he was probably early 20s, tatted up, you know, harsh spoken, and definitely was not a man of God. He was, you know, sex, drugs, rock and roll. And we got to talking, and so I bought his drink for him, and he said, "Oh, good karma to you, man." And I said, "Well, you know, I appreciate where that's coming from, but nothing good could happen to me for the rest of my life." I said, "Because God's healed me from AIDS. He's healed me from homosexuality. He's healed me from osteoporosis." And the girl behind the counter says, "Healed you? Healed from homosexuality?" But I said, "Oh, man, don't tell me you're infected with homosexuality." And she's, "Oh, no, 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 I love men." And the guy goes, "Yeah, but, you know," I said, "Oh, man, not you. You're infected with homosexuality?" And he's like, "Oh, no, man, I love blank." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So, but what got me when I left is that they were so quick to get ready to defend homosexuality.
Yeah.
When I likened it as a disease, until I asked them if they were infected with it, then it was, "Oh, no, 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 not me. Not that. Oh, no."
Yeah, they weren't real prideful then, were they, David?
Huh? That's right.
They didn't want to claim it. That's a good
point. Hey, Coach?
Yes.
Yeah, going back to your beginning of today's segment, when you talked about they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, kind of reinstates or reinforces what Mark's been telling us about the spoken word.
Right.
The blood of the Lamb by itself doesn't overcome our lives. It doesn't. We have to have that, if not spoken, we have to have that projected word. Now, I've had people tell me, "Well, what about deaf people? They can't talk. Are they locked out of heaven because they can't tell anybody about what happened?" I says, "No." I says, "You're kind of dumb, because they can write it out. They can get the word out some other way. They can, whatever way they communicate, they can do it. But if they don't communicate the word of their testimony, then yeah, they're going to hell."
Folks, let me lock something. I know you never thought about this. I found this in some research that I did. Did you know that the word testimony, you ready, comes from testicles? I'm going to say that again. Testimony comes from testicles. Because there was a time when in the courtrooms, I'm not making this up, back in medieval days, that the testimony that a man gave, as he was giving testimony, rope was tied around his testicles. That he was testifying to the very essence of who he was, the truth of what he was about to say. And if caught in a lie, pressure then was applied to the rope. Yeah, you picking up what I'm laying down here, right? So there's something unbelievably powerful about testifying to the truth, because it goes to the very essence of who we are. That's why they hate David Arthur. They can call him names, they can do everything they can, and their greatest desire is to destroy his testimony. And you think about how they're trying to shut the mouth of all of us in this society, in this culture, trying to keep us from speaking the truth. We have to. Those of us who've overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Hey, we don't love our lives anymore. We don't love our lives anymore. Yeah.
Coach, and this is a great example. We can all speak our testimony. We don't have to be an apologist. We don't have to be a PhD. We can be a typical plain old country boy like me, pours concrete, and I can go into a crowd and start speaking my testimony and the word of faith, that the power that comes out of that changes people, Coach. We can all do this. It's so easy.
Amen. I'm looking for, so I'm going to keep talking. I'm doing a Google search here real quick. I'm looking for something. Somebody else come on in.
Hey, I'm with you, Randy. And you got to speak it or tell it or communicate it like Larry said. Otherwise, it's back to that saying, what gifts die with you? What testimonies die with you? You know, and that's kind of where we got to get it out.
Amen. Amen.
It's the power of the transformation. It took the power of the Holy Spirit that transformed Stephanie into her to be able to speak the truth. That is the witness. That is the testimony.
That's it, man. That's it. That's the bravery, see? That's the bravery that other people see and say, oh, my goodness, what is doing that, right? Jared, I'm sending this to you right now. Hang on. And YouTube will probably ban us because we're probably not allowed to play it. It's It's the song by Andre Crouch. I love this song. I love this song. It's called I Didn't Think It Could Be Till It Happened to Me. The word of our testimony. I never dreamed that could happen till it happened to me. I never dreamed you could be delivered from homosexuality till it happened to me. I never dreamed I could get rid of this guilt over my abortion till it happened to me. I never dreamed I could be healed from leukemia till it happened to me. Right? Because what he is saying is the word of our testimony. You've got to see if there's something about telling the truth that solidifies it. I can't explain it, Mark. It's something about that word, that spoken truth solidifies, whether it be the forgiveness, whether it be whatever, it solidifies it. So, Jared, I don't know if you can pull it up there. And if you're watching on YouTube, they're probably going to put a strike against us and they're probably going to stop it. But you can find us at CoachDaveLive.com. Jared, maybe we won't play the whole thing. Maybe we can get away with just playing a few verses of it or whatever. This is by Andre Crouch. And the title of it is, I Didn't Think It Could Be Till It Happened to Me. I think the lyrics are on here as well. Go ahead, Jared. Word of your testimony. The word of your testimony. Maybe you can get by without them banning it. You can find that, Andre Crouch. The power of your testimony. I didn't think it could be till it happened to me. Somebody come on in.
Coach, the best thing you can do is sit down at a table when you got your zone in and write your testimony down. Get the points. Go back. put the points and connect the dots, the events that God come into your life and changed you, it's powerful. Just write a little paragraph, and it's not hard. And get good at giving it and saying it.
Amen. And listen, folks, you don't have to get into a theological discussion, because your testimony, see, they can question just about anything, but it's hard to question your testimony, especially if it was people who knew you. And I don't get into theological discussions. I just simply say, yeah, I used to think like that. I agree. I know what you're saying. I used to believe that too. But I'm going to tell you something. When I met Christ, everything changed. What are they going to say? What are they going to say? Because especially if it's people you know, they know you changed. They see it. They don't get it. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. You got to tell somebody. And in order to tell somebody, you can't worry about what they think. Oh, Lord.
Coach, you brought it out the other day in Habakkuk. It said, write it down on tablets so that he that hears it may run. This is exactly what we're doing with our testimony and with the power of the gospel that has changed our life. We're writing it down. We're speaking it. So why? So those who hear that can go, wow, God is real. And they can run with it.
Amen. Amen. Hey, Stephanie, if you could real quickly, I know you can. I'm asking you, explain if you could, Steph, your life that you think maybe portals were open, doors were open as a result of this abortion. Can you take us down that trail a little bit?
For doors that were open, Coach, definitely depression. It definitely opened that. And it just set me where to survive and to deal with it. I made myself hard and I made myself thick-skinned because I wanted to be strong and portray as strong. You know, nobody wants to be weak. And so I kept trying to force myself to, you know, on the outside, oh, it's no big deal. But then on the inside, the depression, the guilt, you know, and when you have too much of the guilt.
A spirit of death, literally. Stephanie, did it affect your relationship with men from that point on?
Yes, very much so. Yes. I already had broken with issues, but yeah, I mean, it just, I had stayed with, and actually my two boys that I had after, I had stayed with the father. My boys are from the same father that I went through that with. Mm. But
the reality, to a woman, the reality, I say this every time I go to the clinic, I believe this. The women going in to kill their babies would not do it if their husband loved them and said, don't do it. We will make it. We will get through this together. And I believe it builds up a resentment in the heart of a woman that her boyfriend didn't love her enough to raise her baby. Not only didn't love her enough to raise her baby, but didn't love her enough to actually have her kill her baby. I think it opens up great, great resentment in the heart of a woman. And you can go on to other relationships. It could have happened to you when you're 16 years old. That door's open, that resentment's there, and it is going to haunt you all the days of your life if you don't deal with it. The desertion of a man who impregnated you and didn't love you enough to marry you is it's a great spiritual wrong, I think, that a lot of women. I was never a woman. But I got to believe that that's betrayal like we can't even imagine in the heart of a woman. No woman at the abortion clinic would ever kill her baby if her husband said not to. I believe it. Anybody disagree with it? Mike Blake in here, or Mike's, no, he's at work. Anybody goes to the abortion clinic, you agree with me? That's what I think. And then sissified men stand there and say, well, hey, it's her choice. Yeah, it's her choice. Yeah, it's your choice what color truck you get, where you go to eat. It's all your choice, sir. Until she get her knocked up, pardon my French, and then, well, it's her choice. Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? Isn't that what happened with Adam and Eve? Yeah. Come on in. Robert, you get ready here. I got one more.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Hey, you're 100% right. If I'd have been a man at the time, my wife, which was my girlfriend at the time, and told her not to do that or not influence her, she would have five kids instead of four. That's so right. You're correct.
That's right, man, huh?
Yeah. And these guys got to stand up and take responsibility. you know, unlike myself, I didn't. But that's what we have to do. People got to man up and take ownership.
Brian, it causes resentment in the marriage. Inside the heart of the woman is resentment. It takes them a while to rebuild that trust, I believe. I don't know.
You're 100% correct, sir. I mean, that's the thing. It's taken years and years and years. And I take my hat off for Stephanie for doing what she's did. But the thing is, it's something that you have to live with for the rest of your life. And I'll tell you that we would not have had the troubles that we had early in our marriage had we not done that, had we not murdered our first kid.
Isn't that something, Brian? Isn't that something? See, and here's what we don't understand. Again, we don't tell the girls. Is there is a great, great resentment that builds up inside of them. And the majority, I don't have numbers, I'm not going to make up numbers, but large majorities of women who go to abortion, get abortions, a large majority, it's the end of the relationship. It's the end of that relationship. Maybe not that day, maybe not that week, but that relationship will never be the same because the spirit of death has entered into the heart of that mother for sure, sometimes into the father. And we don't understand the spiritual significance of what abortion.
That's right. And only by God's grace and by God helping us are we still married those many years later.
Amen. 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 That's why I love Mark Harrington's ministry so much. And they show the signs. He says, you ever go to one of these anti-abortion things, the only people not represented are the victims. You know, women out there, women giving up the secret. And where's the babies? Where are the pictures of the babies? The ones who were actually harmed. Where are they? Where are they? Overcome by the blood of the Lamb, word of your testimony. Love not your own life, even to the point of death. Come on, and we got about 8 minutes left. I want to get Robert in here as well. I hadn't planned to do this, but this has been pretty good. It's been pretty good. Confession is good for the heart, boys and girls. It's good for the heart.
All right, here's a little bit of truth for today, since that's the big issue here is truth. March 2nd. Says grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. And this is how it happens. Because God is faithful, his loving kindness indeed never cease.
Amen.
Because he is compassionate, his compassions never fail me. Mm. Because he is immutable, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because God is given, I am not deprived. Because God is truthful, it is impossible for him to lie to me.
Mm.
Because God is omnipotent, his promises are true and powerful. Because God is holy, I can be holy.
Amen.
Because God is omniscient, he knows my unspoken words, understands my thoughts, and scrutinizes my paths. Because God is omnipresent, his presence leads me and guides me. Because God is light, darkness does not overwhelm me. Because God is just, the wicked will be judged. That's a good one to claim.
That is a good one, brother.
Justice will be coming. Because he is love, I am loved, and I can love. Now, you don't see that in any other religion. Because God is forgiven, I am cleansed. Because God is merciful, he is slow to anger. Because God is sovereign, he rules over all. Because he is the only true God, all men are to fear and tremble before him only.
Amen.
Because he is personal, how precious are his thoughts toward me. And because he is the creator, I exist. I mean, it's good attributes of God. All the verses are there as well for people to meditate on.
Amen. If we would just live out what we claim to, what we claim to believe in our faith. I got one more thing I want to show you here. Don't want to be controversial. Jared, pull up the, what's the video say? It says virus vid, Jared, it's the second one. I want to show you this. Listen, I don't know what's going on with the coronavirus, okay? The information we get, I mean, it's on both sides. It is on both sides of the spectrum. We're all going to die, and don't worry about it. We're all going to die, and I'm not making fun of anybody in their statistics. I don't trust the CDC. I don't trust anybody. I don't trust. Are we getting proper information? I don't know. But I saw this video. Listen, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm preparing, but I will not be fearful and dominated by the fear of the coronavirus. Now, I got this video on Thursday, I think it was, or maybe Friday. Don't know when. Doesn't matter. This is 3 minutes and 59 seconds. Go ahead and play it, Joe.
Hello, this is Dr. Steve Hotze. I want to warn you about the mass hysteria that's been created about the coronavirus. Don't worry about it. It is all media hype. It's fake news. Let me explain. Worldwide, there are 80,000 cases of the coronavirus, the new coronavirus. There's coronavirus has been around for centuries, and they morph every year and have different strains, just like the flu virus. There are different strains of the flu virus. In the United States, yesterday, February 26th, the CDC said there were 14 cases of the coronavirus. The CDC also reports this flu season, there have been 35 million cases of the flu, and there have been 25,000 deaths. You haven't heard anything about that, have you? Last year, there were 61 million in the United States alone. 61 million people had the flu, and there were 57,000 deaths related to flu illnesses. So, and we had 14 cases of the coronavirus. And San Francisco has declared an emergency, and it has no coronaviruses. And they got 8,000 people sleeping in the streets, homeless, defecating and urinating in the sidewalks. What are these people thinking? They've weaponized the coronavirus, trying to blame it on Don Trump. Give me a break. Nobody can keep yourself healthy and well and can prevent from getting the flu or any other virus except you. And what can you do? Make sure you're taking a good multivitamin with B complex that contains high doses of vitamin A. You need to be on 1,000 milligrams minimally of vitamin C per 25 pounds of body weight. If you weigh 150 pounds, take 6,000 milligrams. If you weigh 200 pounds, take 8,000 milligrams a day. If you get sick, double the dose. Add in 1,000 milligrams every hour until you get stool intolerance and back off. I would take 10 to 15,000 of vitamin D3 supplements every day. If you get sick, I'd take 50,000 international units daily for at least 4 days. That will strengthen your immune system, as does vitamin C. Cut out your simple carbs. Sugar depresses your immune system. It depresses the white blood cells, which help you fight infections. Don't be worried about the coronavirus. It's media hype, and the Democrats want to use it to try to run down Donald Trump. It's the craziest thing ever, but it's media hype trying to get you to watch the TV and buy all the products. That's the way they keep you watching the news and selling newspapers. Remember this. This year alone, there have been 35 million cases of the flu. There are 14 cases of coronavirus. There have been 25,000 deaths due to the flu this year in America. Worldwide, on an average, there are a billion cases of the flu and a million deaths every year. Yesterday in America, 1,800 people died of heart disease. Another 155 people died in hospitals due to doctor-prescribed drugs. Millions of people die every year from dysentery, bowel disorders, and they die from malaria. Millions of people. And we're worried about the coronavirus? Really? It's ridiculous. They're trying to make you be sheeple. Herd you like sheep, your people that herd like sheep. They call you sheeple. They want to scare you to death and make you worry about this when they're trying to do other nefarious and deceitful things behind your back. Stand strong and don't buy into this mass hysteria. The Bible says that God has given us a sound mind, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of a sound mind. That means a thinking mind. And that's in 2 Timothy, I believe it's 1:7. Check me on that. So have a sound mind. Think clearly. Think rationally. Don't get caught up in all this media hype and this hysteria that your neighbors and friends are talking about. The coronavirus, what's it going to do to us? That's my word today. I'm Dr. Hotze. I'm sticking by it.
Common sense, right? Common sense. I'm not upset with anybody and what they're studying, but folks, it's the flu. It may be a little bit more virulent strain of it, but it's the flu. It's the flu, the coronavirus. So be wise, right? Stores, get some food, Duke, because the economic consequences, look what's going on with the stock market. The economic consequences, I believe, right now are greater than the physical consequences.
Yes, really, Coach. Yes.
I believe that. So I think there's something at work here more than what we understand. Remember this, you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and love not your own life, even the point of death. God bless you, man. We'll see you tomorrow.